Friends, I have received numerous emails and phone calls from parishioners who have been concerned about the recent revelations about child sexual abuse and its implications for the church. And the concern is on multiple levels. I think people have expressed their concern for the abused, for the faith of God's people, and also for me. I have received emails from people, numerous of them, just inquiring about my well-being. Sometimes it's just a simple question, and how are you doing through all of this? So I thank you for these concerns. And I would be lying to you if I said that I'm not struggling. I'm more than struggling. I feel despondent. I feel discouraged. I feel overwhelmed. And the question I'm asking myself is, what now? Folks, I joined the seminary when I was 17 years old. I'm 52 now. This is all I've known. The church is what I've known, not just with my heart, but with my soul. I have loved the church like a man would love his family. Intentionally, consciously, and even aware of her imperfections, I have given my life to the church. What now? What does all this mean for my priesthood now? And I'm wondering if you're asking yourself the same question, what does this mean for my Catholicism now, for my faith now? As is often the case, in terms of crisis, I always turn towards Scripture. But this time around, it's like the Scriptures sought me out. This weekend's readings provide some very clear directions to me, because it talks about religion, talks about faith, talks about church. In fact, these readings remind me of the true meaning of religion. And perhaps some of you are struggling, and in my answers, you may find directions for your own answers. So here are my 3 points for today. The first question we ask is, why religion? In its most basic role, religion regulates the divine-human relationship. So religion really primarily is about God's relationship to the community, and the community's relationship back to God and to the community. Religion also regulates the relationship of the members within the community with other communities and other religions. So we as Catholics know how to conduct ourselves when it comes to our relationship with other folks. The laws, the decrees, the statutes that are part of our faith become important because they guide the community's actions, both spiritual and temporal. So when you come to Catholic Church, you know exactly how to conduct ourselves. I mean, we kneel together, we stand together, we sing together, we do things together, because that's what religion helps us to do. It guides our temporal and our spiritual affairs. Now, from the Christian perspective, religion is not something that we created. From the Christian perspective, religion is God's initiative. It was God who created the world, it's God who created human beings, and it was God who revealed God's self to us. At least this is how Moses understands religion in today's first reading. Moses was really trying to impress upon the people that religion, the covenant, the laws, the statutes, the decrees that Israel has come to know, that these things are gifts from God. More than that, the statutes and decrees that God gave the people was a sign of God's care. In other words, if you conduct yourself in a particular way, it shows to the nations how God cares for you. It's about God's steadfast love and fidelity. So religion was not supposed to be perceived as a burden, but rather as an opportunity to respond to the invitation that God gives. Now we Christians, we Catholics, go one step forward. We believe that God's love and care far exceeds the laws and decrees that God gives us. Why? Because God didn't just give us laws and decrees. God gave us Jesus. So God gives us a human person. God gives us His Son. And as Catholics, we even go one step further. We believe that Jesus Himself, who came as God's gift to us, didn't just give us more laws and decrees, that Jesus gave us His own body and blood. Jesus didn't just give us a new religion. Jesus gave us Himself. And all these things are gifts from God. So I don't know how you're feeling as you're sitting in the pews, but I hope that at some point you can look at what God has given us and be grateful for the faith that we have. Secondly, what can go wrong with religion? So religion is a gift from God, yes. But what can go wrong? Many things can go wrong with religion. Religion, which is supposed to set people free, can become oppressive. Historically, we've seen this played out in society over the millennia. Jesus Himself was oppressed by His religion. Jesus was a victim of oppressive religion. And He deals with that in today's gospel reading. He calls the Pharisees hypocrites because they disregarded God's commandments and clung on to human traditions. Religion becomes oppressive when those who stand to gain from it use it to suppress people. So the child abuse scandal and its cover-up was and continues to be an abuse of power by those with whom this power is invested. Historically, religion has been used to suppress women, to suppress human freedoms, to justify slavery, to justify racism. Religion was used to further the colonial agenda. How many wars have been fought in the name of God? Christians killed each other in the name of the very God who taught us to love each other. Now, this does not mean that religion has had no positive role in society. Historically, religion has also brought about a new awareness of the dignity of every human person. We believe that if God has created us all, then no matter who we are, that we have the same dignity, the same origin, and the same destiny. So religion helps us to think about human beings as equal in God's eyes and in each other's eyes. Religion was instrumental in the movements that championed women's rights, civil liberties. And in these days, religion is also becoming instrumental in creating a safe environment for our children. Religion empowers people. Religion has given rise to heroes in the church, such as Francis of Assisi, Teresa of Avila, Maximilian Kolbe, Mother Teresa, Archbishop Oscar Romero. So religion is a sure guide to eternity. Now, as believers who have come into the church in spite of the scandal, and honestly, I can't believe you're in church. I can't believe you are in church in spite of the scandal. I salute you for being here today. As believers who have come into a Catholic church in spite of the recent scandal, I think we must be aware of one simple fact. The problem is not our religion or our faith. The problem is what some people make of it. We must hear Jesus saying to us in today's gospel reading, he says, "Hear me, all of you who understand." And this is the key, isn't it? Gosh, do we get Jesus? Do we really understand Jesus? To those who understand, here is what Jesus is saying to us. Nothing that enters from the outside can defile the person, but things that come out from within are defiled. I think it's not religion that's the problem. The problem is us. Jesus is asking us to take a good look within and figure out how is it that we can enter into understanding where Jesus is leading us. So what is true religion? As you can see, I haven't answered my own question. I ask myself, what now? And I'm taking my cue from St. James. In today's second reading, he says, and please hear this very carefully, because I'm sure James got some flack for what he wrote. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Now, James refers to the orphans and the widows because they were the most helpless in his times, in his society. So folks, these days as a priest, I'm reaching some very strong convictions. I'm convinced there are only two things that matter: that I love God with all my heart, my soul, my strength. I should not be found wanting in that. That I love God with everything that I've got. And that I care for today's orphans and widows, whoever they might be. Yes, there are many laws and traditions that I must follow, of course, because we have to do things together. I can't do my own thing when I come to church one day. But if the laws and traditions do not help me to love God more deeply, and to serve the poor, the powerless, the oppressed, the helpless, the lonely, the grieving, those on the periphery, then I'm wasting my time. I'm wasting my darn time. I'm not saying that I succeed all the time. I'm not saying that I will not fail. But my goal in life is simply what I've believed all through my priesthood, that I must try to think like Jesus and talk like Jesus and act like Jesus. That right now I need to forget everything else but stay connected to the gospel and its message. At least for me, that is the only hope I got, and I'm clinging on to it. Many of you may not agree with this decision that I have made. I'm actually going to El Paso, Texas this week. I feel the gospel calling me to be with those who are on the peripheries. I'll be hanging out with the detainees there and simply being the presence of Christ. I understand that this may not be something that'll go down very well because it's a very contentious issue. But I feel that's where the gospel is calling me. May God who leads us, may Christ who teaches us to enter into the depths of what religion is all about, may this God continue to lead us. Because really, this Eucharist is not about doctrine. This Eucharist is about Christ who breaks himself to feed God's people. This Eucharist is life-giving because this is a gift from God. I give my life to this Eucharist and to God's people, particularly the poor. People of God said. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into